it's hard, right? Like, you know, this Alex of August 19th and then August 20th, you know him to be someone who may potentially lose their life. You know what I mean? That can be very challenging for individuals. And I was also afraid of it. I didn't want people to see me differently. And I think that's one of the reasons why people do go into isolation. And so for me, when I did share it with the initial group of people, when I say about 90% of the people kind of dropped off the planet of the earth, that's when I went into isolation.
Hello, hello there, Brave Table fam. Welcome to another episode of The Brave Table. I'm your host, Dr. Neetha, and this is your destination, your oasis to be all things just a little bit more brave in your actions, in your relationships, and in your life. And what if I told you that you have just one life to live? And what if today you were given a diagnosis, a medical diagnosis? Would you sit back or would you start taking action on the things that maybe you've been putting off, on the things that maybe you've been wanting to chase after, that you've been curious about, or maybe the things that you want to turn your life around? Well, my guest today is exactly that person. He happens to also be one of my deepest, most bravest, most amazing soul brothers that I have had the pleasure of knowing from pretty much the beginning of time in my journey throughout so much transformation. And it's none other than my dear bro, Alex Eccles, who I'm so excited that you get to learn from. Now, Alex is not only a best-selling author, not only a former branding marketing executive at DreamWorks, but he started out in the South Side of Chicago, shout out Chi-Town, to a global traveler. He attended one of the top universities in the US and in his 30s was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He has risen multiple times with this mission, just having one life. And in our conversation today, we talk about how to walk your own path against all odds and sometimes how you have to be maybe the one that sticks out in every room you go into, and how to actually not lose yourself in crowds where you may feel like you're not good enough, where you may feel like you're the outcast, where you may feel you're the only one that doesn't have those privileges. And we get into how to continuously have a creative spirit, even though many life-altering changes may have happened to you. And we definitely get into some of our self-discovery processes and how saying yes to different experiences, maybe including plant medicine, travel, and how to hone in your own selected community can fully change the trajectory of your life. I'm so, so excited. You are going to just fall in love with Alex Eccles. He is such a light, and I'm so glad you guys get to learn from him today. Now, let's get into the show with Alex Eccles on The Brave Table. Hey, love, want to go deeper and behind the scenes with our mini trainings with some of our guests on The Brave Table? Then become an insider and get the inside scoop. It's absolutely free and you'll unlock private mini trainings that will help you be even more brave in your relationships as we go deeper in certain areas of your life. So become an insider today for free at neethabhushan.com/insiders. That's INSIDERS. And learn from the Vice documentary Shaft on pleasure, Dr. Kate Northrup on money blocks, Karen Rockland on speaking your truth, and Dr. Nisha Khanna on women's health, and so, so much more. And guess what? It's all free when you go to Neetha, that's N-E-E-T-A, Bhushan, BHUSHAN.com/insiders. Grab your inside scoop today. And now back to the show. Alex Eccles.
What's up?
What is up, brother?
Everything.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We've had quite the, decade?
Yeah,
about that. It has been a decade.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
It's been a decade, but you know, it's been
centuries. Like multiple...
Lifetimes. All the things.
And I'm so glad I'm bringing one of my closest soul brothers. I mean, we were already close because of our Chi-Town upbringing.
Exactly.
And then you add all of the multiple global experiences.
And there were a lot of them.
They've been a lot of them. And I've done quite a few of them with you first.
Yeah. What are some of those? I'm curious to know.
Okay. So I just want to start this by saying, yeah, you were the first one that I did. It was a combination at Burning Man.
Okay.
When we went together, I think it was mushrooms and Molly one of the nights.
One of the nights. Yeah. Back in 2014.
Well, yeah.
Burning Man. Expansive experience. Getting out there on the playa.
In every way.
Yeah.
That was huge. And so was that one of your first times with medicine and with kind of self-exploration? I want to know like where that journey began for you.
Yeah. Well, I think in order for me to really express where that journey began for me, I think we have to go a bit further back into the land where doing any of that type of stuff was considered to be bad and wrong. And so for a long period of my life, I told myself, okay, I got to stay away from that because I may turn into a belligerent or, you know, somebody out there in the streets or something like that. Because at least in my culture, that's something that can often come up as an agreement or story. And so what I will say is that there was always something bigger, something deeper within me that said, okay, I hear this story. I hear this agreement that a lot of people are signing up for. But I'm getting this feeling that there's something different. And so that was what sort of created my interest in it. But I will say this, I was cased in enough not to explore or try anything like that until at least I got out of college, which I'm grateful for because I went to Vanderbilt in Nashville, Tennessee. And if I got caught up with that type of stuff back then, maybe I wouldn't have graduated. So I'm just really grateful that I did that at least. And it was actually one of my really good friends, Mike. We went to a festival called Electric Daisy Carnival.
Oh my gosh.
It was the first one in Las Vegas. Exactly.
Oh, you went to the first one?
I went to the very first one in Las Vegas after they had moved it from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And one of my friends who had, let's say, a little bit more experience with it, he invited me into it as almost like a coach. He was my guide into the world of psychedelics, but also, you know, enriching substances such as like MDMA, right? Mm-hmm. And so as we were leading up to the actual event, it took about like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and I would just ask him questions. And he would always give me answers based on his own experience, but also always remind me that your experience is going to be your experience and the best thing that you can do is relax into it. And so here I am at Electric Daisy Carnival. There is rides all around me, Ferris wheels, everything is like so bright and colorful. And I experienced this sort of enlivening. This activation that is happening inside of me as well as the substance is starting to interact with my, you know, internal body. And I'm like, what is happening to me right now? And so that's where it first began. It was in my earlier 20s. And so by the time we got to Burning Man, by the time we got around to sitting with one of our other brothers in Circle in Bali, this is when I started to see it as, it doesn't just necessarily need to be something that I use at partying or to connect with God in that way, you know? It's also something that I can use so that I can do sort of deeper work, deeper introspection.
Yeah.
You know, do the work that my cognitive brain would never allow me to do because I couldn't be in my body the way that I am able to do now.
Yeah. Well, and I'm so glad you brought that up because even when we sat with one of the medicines, which was San Pedro.
Yeah.
And this was right after, I think it was right after Bali Spirit Fest, where you were one of the very, very first people that I did breath work with.
Yeah, Armin. Oh. That was intense.
That was intense where we were portaled off into a different universe.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was the very first time I experienced breathwork. 2015, Bali Spirit Fest. I was going through a full crazy initiation of, I think, even trusting in men again. Even before I got together with Ajit. And you are literally one of the ushers. So I just want to really say thank you because I trusted you as a brother. And we were like going into, I don't know, an outer space. It was a very psychedelic breath work.
Yeah, it was cosmological for sure.
It was. And then it was like, I feel like they had us staring at each other for like 4 hours. I think you're turning into different animals or something.
Right?
And this, we were completely like sober.
Yeah.
So we've gone through many, many, many moons.
We have.
And we also share something, you know, similar along the lines of, you know, your journey with cancer.
Yeah.
And so, because that was a chapter in your life that was a little bit after we had all of these awakenings.
Yeah. It was about 2 years later. And my life had gone from asking the question of, I was comfortable, right? So how am I going to continue to live for several more decades and the level of comfortability that I have? At that point, I was living in Miami, enjoying my life, enjoying the everything that comes with the Miami life. And Maria, my wife, my now wife, and I, we were planning on moving to Los Angeles. And so I was really in this space of kind of feeling like I had everything figured out, but also knowing that I had nothing figured out. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't necessarily in the humble space at that point. It was much more of a lost space more than anything. And my life changed in the matter of just a few weeks. Mm-hmm. And when I say changed, it goes from me going out and maybe partying and staying up to 4 o'clock because I'm out enjoying myself to being up at 4 o'clock in the morning because I have an immense and intense pain in my body from growths and everything like that are happening. So,
did you know like something was off?
So it's interesting because in between the desire to move away from Miami to Los Angeles, I went home to go spend some time with my family for about a month, or that at least that was the plan back then. And I was just going to be there, chill with them until the move to Los Angeles happened and to go back to Burning Man, actually.
Mm-hmm. And, right. I remember that.
Yeah. So it didn't necessarily work out that way. Let's call it that. And I was actually helping an older woman at my dad's church. And I had this separation of my clavicle and sternum as I was trying to lift her over something. So I just felt this immense pop that happened there. And when I went into the emergency room, they said, oh, it's okay. You know, there's no surgery or anything like this that you can have for it. We'll put some ice on it. We'll put a sling on it. And then you go about your way. But there was something deeper there that I felt. I guess this is when I feel like I've always been able to hear and listen to those deeper things within me. But this is one of those pivotal points of my life where I was like, oh no, there's a still small voice. There's a deep voice within me that's trying to tell me that that's not it. That's not the reality, Alex. There's something there. And so I attribute this to a nudge. And the nudge told me, Alex, you need to go and you need to do more tests. And when I say that one test turned into 3 tests, turned into 24 tests, turned into biopsies, turned into everything else.
And this was your intuition that began this, like...
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you could have just listened to the doctor and been like, okay, he said everything's cool.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing about me. I've never always just listened to people just because I was supposed to. And, you know, when you use the term your intuition, right? For me, at least, when I think about intuition, I know that it's just not mine. It's mine and my God. It's mine and my universe and source, right? And so I think that that was one of those points in my life, you know, those tentpole moments where God, the universe, source said, you know what? It's time for you to start getting out of your way and I'm going to help you get out of your way so that you can do and be and become more of who you say you actually want to be in this world. So was this easy to accept? Was it easy to accept that I went from thinking that I was perfectly fine and had an amazingly comfortable life to having stage 4 cancer overnight? No. Mm. Not at all. But I knew from the very beginning that no level of me beating myself up, no level of me putting myself into the shoes of a victim or giving away so much of my power to the people in the white coats or to anyone, no level of that would have allowed me to retain enough power so that I could actually stay focused, so that I could actually stay present and do what I needed to do on a daily basis, step by step, to actually work my way through it.
And what were those things that kept your mental and your emotional and your physical sanity of not giving away your power to this thing?
Yeah. Well, I think that I was in a very unique position, first off, because I'm originally from the south side of Chicago. You know, we got the
Chi-town
in our blood.
North side, south side.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well, you know, being from the South Side of Chicago, it came with its sets of challenges, right?
You had your grit.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of it. You know, there's a lot of stories that are made up about Chicago these days, and some of them are true and accurate, but there's a lot of heart and a lot of love in Chicago. And so I attribute me growing up there as there was a center, there was a nucleus, there was the heart. And then outside of that heart, when I would walk around the street, then that's when things could become a little bit more challenging because not everybody had that heart, that centering, that nucleus, that grounding. You know, we can say that being a family, a resource center, anything like that, right? And so I think that just because I always, one, questioned everything everybody told me and everything I always heard and listened to.
You're so good at that.
The grit, the resilience, the desire to be curious and to have a sense of wonder and awe. I always had that from the very beginning. And so by the time I got to the cancer chapter, let's call it that, right? I was in a position and a place of my life where I'd gone through so many iterations and evolutions of who I was already. Because in order for you to make it out of a place like the South Side of Chicago, you not only need to have a certain level of resources, external resources.
True.
But you have to be able to cultivate the internal resources as well. And I did that through retreats. I did that through working with the family of Tony Robbins. This is where I met Maria. You know, I did it through all of these different experiences that I was blessed to have in my life. And so by the time that cancer came around, the moment that the doctor said, you have stage 4 cancer, Alex. And so I think it's really important for me to share a quick story here because when he first told me, I was 2 days away from flying back to Burning Man.
Oh my gosh, that's
right. 2 days from flying back to Burning Man. When he first told me, I was like, so does this mean I can't go to Burning Man? Or I didn't even say, can I go to Burning Man? I was like, I'm flying to the desert. Does this mean I can't go to the desert? Because I didn't want to give away that I was going to Burning Man. I didn't want to have that in his head. Then he'd probably think I'm absolutely crazy. But he's like, yeah, Alex, you definitely can't do that because if you were like climbing on rocks or something like that and you were to fall, you have enlarged intestines right now. Enlarged, or what is the word? Like enlarged, like just body parts within.
Okay.
And at that point, I had an enlarged spleen.
Oh.
And he said that if you were to climb on rocks and fall, then you could die because it would be ruptured on the spot. And so I asked him, I was like, does this mean I can't get on the plane in 2 days to go? And he's like, Alex, you need to take this very serious right now because your life is on the line. And from our perspective, you need to get started with treatments and you need to just get equipped as soon as possible. So it was really then and there where I told myself, okay, now is the time. Now is the time for me to, in some way, put on all of the armor that I needed in order for me to get through this. Now is the time for me to activate and reactivate all the internal resources that I had built up over the years. And now is the time to actually put into practice in a deeper way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that I can actually make my way through it. And so it was a challenge.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Was there any moment during those few years where you broke or you had to kind of question things, or were you kind of just so headstrong?
Well, I'll start by answering that by saying I'm human.
Yeah.
So of course there are moments. The way that I would look at it, were there moments where I thought that I was seeing the other side? The answer is yes. I'll be honest as well, there were moments when I was first starting to become a connoisseur with cannabis because that is a miracle antidote for a lot of people when they're going through physical challenges and ailments and illnesses and diseases.
Yeah.
And so I was starting to have my party with cannabis at that time. And I didn't necessarily know my dosage.
You know
what I mean? So sometimes I would take a little bit too much of CBD and THC blended one-to-one blends and things like that. And it would be just a little bit too much and I would get too cerebral. And I would very much question, well, what if I don't make it through this? What if I don't make it to the other side of this experience alive? You know, but there was always something deeper within me that said, keep going. having someone like Maria, my mom, even my dad at that time, like having people in my life that took a little bit of the burden off of me and really got into that seat and that position of being amazing support and supports during that time. That's what really helped. But were there times that I was like, I think I'm checking out here? Absolutely. And I remember one in particular. Maria was away for business. My mom was actually at our apartment downtown Chicago at the time. And I had finished up with one of my what's called conditioning chemotherapies to set me up for the ultimate, which was a bone marrow transplant. And in that, after one of those conditioning therapies, it's just a massive amount of chemicals and medicine because I wouldn't be here partially without it, right? But they drained not only my physical body, but they also drain a lot of my life force. And I remember laying in the bed, you know, kind of sweating at times and kind of feeling like I'm here, but I'm not here. And I think it was...
Were there talks with God at that point?
Well, I guess for me, it's, I'll go back. Growing up in Chicago, there's always been a talk with God. It's been like a consistent talk, a consistent communication, and one that I'm inviting so much more back into my life right now. But at that point, was it a conversation that was happening? Yes. And it was a humbling conversation that was happening. It was me recognizing the importance, the gift, and also the reality of impermanence. Like, just like nature, everything is in perfect accordance to how it should flow, but nothing lasts forever.
Right.
And so that's something I was feeling in that moment for sure.
Yeah, of course. Right?
And so, but of course, when I woke up the next day, and then I woke up the next day after that, and I woke up the next day after that, there's grit and resilience that comes from that. But there's also this sort of broadening of the perspective that, at least for me, turned into appreciation and gratitude. And that became, for me, my golden thread throughout the rest of the experience up until this point in my life as well.
I mean, and it's fascinating. You're here today.
Yeah.
Thriving. Hey loves, are you looking for your next steps in deepening your personal growth journey? Curious to follow your highest purpose or your true calling in life? Or maybe you're curious to see what is calling you and what you are becoming in your next chapter. Well, maybe you just got out of a toxic relationship or you're finally focusing on whatever that next chapter looks like. This is your invitation to join Doors at Highest Self Institute, our 6-month container to get certified as a dual soul purpose coach or a spiritual life coach. Whether you want to be a coach or you want to dive deeper into your own purpose, this is the school I wish I had during my tough moments in life. So I teamed up with my co-founder, Sahara Rose, and 3 years later and over 1,000 students certified through our school, the world's first soul purpose, Dharma coaching and spiritual life double certification is here. We've certified over 1,000 students. So it's time. Take the leap of your life and find your like-minded connected community that grows with you in the process. Now, doors are open. So go ahead and visit us at highestselfinstitute.com. That is highestselfinstitute.com. Now back to the show. I mean, now you are sharing this with so many other people. And this has become the next chapter of you and your business and now you and Maria. And I want to kind of go back because you said something about the support system and how you were so blessed to have the closest people in your life as your pillars of strength. And I know that so often when we are braving new frontiers of either businesses or just sucky moments in our life, and you had that, you know, suck, call it beautiful chapter, whatever we want to name it, I know many times people kind of isolate and they either don't want to tell people, they don't want to let people in, they want to kind of do it on their own. You know, what's your advice to them if anybody is kind of going through something similar right now?
Yeah, well, I think that it helps to add a little bit more context as well from my own experience, because very much like what you just offered up, that a lot of people do go in isolation, that did happen to me at first. Because when I first found out because I wasn't going to Burning Man, I kind of had to tell the people that were so excited and that I was so excited to be seeing again. Mm-hmm. And because that wasn't happening, I essentially came up with what I was thinking was my group of people that could be there and support me. And my initial list of folks, when I reached out and I shared and all that, because at this point I wasn't telling anyone. I told my mom, my dad, don't tell anyone. Like, it's hard, right? Like, you know, this Alex of August 19th and then August 20th, you know him to be someone who may potentially lose their life. You know what I mean? That can be very challenging for individuals. And I was also afraid of it. I didn't want people to see me differently. And I think that's one of the reasons why people do go into isolation. And so for me, when I did share it with the initial group of people, when I say about 90% of the people kind of dropped off the planet of the earth, that's when I went into isolation. And I went into this space of, there's something wrong with me. I went into this space of kind of beating myself up for a little while. I went into my space of anger, wondering, well, what happened to us being ride or dies? You know, what else? What happened to us being friends for life? Things like that. You know, family first, like those type of, you know.
Soul fam.
And like, exactly. What happened to that? And because I didn't necessarily think that that was actually happening, I went into isolation. I went to a box and I went to a pretty temporarily dark space until my mom started to kind of like pop me in the head saying, stress is the last thing you need right now, Alex. Like, you need to recognize that all the power that you can cultivate and that you can curate for yourself right now, that's what you need to do, and focus on the people who actually are here and not so much on the people who are not.
Go Mama Eccles.
Yeah, well, go Mama Eccles for sure.
Wow. Like,
Mom's been there in so many different ways throughout, you know, my life with so many different just pieces of wisdom and golden nuggets. When you talk about golden nuggets, like,
Do you find it that she's probably the reason why you have this One Life brand that you are sporting today? What's the essence and the philosophy behind that?
So I think that my mom is definitely a component. I think that we got to bring South Side of Chicago back in as well and to it, because by the time that, let's call it, I began to have my ascent out of the hood and into the world, going and studying abroad, getting into university, like starting to go into that really big next chapter of my life, by that point, I already had lost all the guys that were my age due to violence.
You had lost them?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so, if
like gang-related shots.
Gang-related, yeah, that type of thing.
Like the true South Side of Chicago.
Well, one of the true parts.
I mean, when most people think about it, right? You and I both know not all of it is true,
exactly.
But some of it that is portrayed.
For sure. But and I think that it's helpful for that education to continue to happen.
Because I don't think that people really understand that when you say, like, you came out of the hood, that most of the guys that you grew up with are no longer here. And you're sitting right here.
It was absolutely. And so if I were to attribute where did One Life originally come from, it was birthed out of struggle. It was birthed out of the recognition that you can never make it to age 15. You know, it was birthed out of, even if people did pass away, all those dreams, all of that untapped potential, all of that just interest and excitement and joy that existed in all of these young men, that is where One Life initially and originally came out. Because when I first came up with it, the tagline was One Life, You Decide, right? Because back then, I thought that's exactly what I did. I thought I decided on a daily basis, okay, I want to get out of this place. I want to get out into the world. I want to see the world. I want to be a co-creator with the world. I want to do all of these things, right? And so that's a part of it. I think another part of it is just seeing the death is no new friend for me. And going back to this case, this concept of impermanence, I've been touched by cancer a lot in my life. My mom had it in the past. Many family members, many friends had a friend in high school that had brain cancer, luckily survived. You know, I had a cousin that passed away when he was 13, 14. So, you know, touched by cancer, but also death a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I think that as well, right? Mm-hmm. That gave even more fervor and even more reason for one life to exist and be around because of going back to this untapped potential.
Yeah.
All of this cosmic, beautiful energy that exists in everything and not getting the opportunity to have it expressed or even fully expressed.
It's so powerful, and it's such a testament to you now not just owning the one life, but exuding it in every part of your life.
Yeah.
And in your relationships and even how you serve people today in the various things that you and you and Maria do together. Yeah. And I want to just say shout out to Maria because you,
shout out.
You from the south side of the Chicago attracted the most incredible, beautiful, amazing woman that I have grown to love and know over the last decade, as well as you guys have literally been across the globe.
Yeah.
And she's from a very different part of the world.
Yes.
All the way on the other side of the globe in Estonia. And how has that been to have such an anchor and probably a huge pillar of support for you to even just be here today?
Well, absolutely. Well, first off, Maria, when you watch this, I love you.
We love you.
Yeah, we love you. But besides that, you know, I think that it was destined to be.
Mm.
I know that just like you, this is not our first rodeo.
It's not our first rodeo.
It's not our first time being in connection and unity with one another.
Yeah.
And I think that we have experienced this through plant medicine and sacred medicine. We have seen that we have been in each other's lives for multiple lives. Mm-hmm. And so this is really like a reunification. We're reuniting here. In
it's
this
like
lifetime.
5D and the 3D.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so if I were to answer based on this present lifetime, it's been incredible. You know, when we first met, we were kids, like kids. Now we're kids. You know what I mean? We're always going to be kids, but we were in our younger 20s. And so we very much had crashed into each other at that point in our lives. But from the very beginning, there were several things that put us into an alignment with each other. We had met in a seminar working with the family of Tony Robbins.
Amazing.
We had met on a voyage traveling to 25 countries within 25 days. So there was that element of adventure. There was that element of curiosity, of free spiritness, openness. We had met when we were in a place where we very much were enjoying partying. Mm-hmm. So we partied every single day. I don't know how on earth we would party to like 6 a.m. and then get up at like 8 a.m. to go walk, you know, Guayaquil or Colombia or one of these places, but we did it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that through such an intense experience in the very beginning of us getting to know each other and meeting each other, that forged a bond that in so many ways has been unbreakable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this Japanese concept called kintsugi.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been cracks? Of course there have been cracks. We're humans. We're from two different places on the planet. There's been challenges. There's been fights. There's been everything, right? But we've done our best to fill it up like kintsugi with gold.
With gold.
With love. Mm-hmm. With light. With support. And that has probably been the number one thing that allows us to be as bonded together with each other is us recognizing that we don't have to get it perfect.
Right.
We just have to continue to take the path and the steps forward. And it's been great, right? Because even back then, we were two growing, fully capable human beings with our own sense of potential and our own sense of power that had come together. Right. Mm. And so when we look at it today, we often talk about when we add up the two of us and any power couple, you and hubby, you know, everybody, it's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 = 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because we walk as amplified beings.
1000%.
And then when you get together, you do nothing but amplify each other.
Right. And I feel like for people who don't necessarily know that yet, or maybe they haven't met that, I think it's hard for people to think in that way.
Yeah.
And you guys are really a beautiful example of that. And what I'm even hearing, just even a recap of like all of the juiciness, is support has really been that through line.
Yeah.
You know, and it really has allowed you to catapult and amplify in monumental ways to live out, you know, your one life in this audacious way. And I feel like this is only one of the beginning chapters.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're just getting started.
You're just getting started. Yeah. So before we get into our igniting round, because I know we have to close out, how can we get more attracted to all of the offerings and everything? Where can we find you? And where can we connect with you?
Absolutely. I think that one of the places for sure is Instagram at Hey Alex Eccles. This is the place where I share very much like today. Thank mm-hmm. you for the opportunity, by the way. Being able to share the unique life experience through my eyes, through my ears, through my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a home, right? There's a community that's being built there, a very intimate one, but a very focused and connected one as well. And there is a free gift that I would love to share with folks as well. And this is, so one of my sort of background pieces is being able to be a guide, an advisor for a lot of incredible people in life. And I absolutely attribute a lot of my success to the support, but also meditations and visualizations and different tools like this. And so a free gift that I want to offer to you is a guided creative visualization that really draws in and pulls in a lot of the tools and things that we've been talking about today, which are the topic of grit and self-compassion and this tool of gratitude and being able to envision a future for ourselves that is the exact future that we want and being able to recognize, all right, well, I'm here right now. I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
But how can I take the intentional steps on a daily basis? And so this is a practice. This is a visualization that I lead a lot of my clients through. And they always rave about it. They love it. And it's one of those things that they also say, I don't know where I went, but it was somewhere in the cosmos. And because of it, my life is beginning to change. And so that's something that I want to offer to your audience.
Ooh. And then we'll have it in the show notes as well.
Absolutely.
We'll definitely put it in the show notes.
Definitely.
Is it, Alec, is it a specific URL
that you want to share? I'll provide the link for
you.
Okay,
perfect. Yeah, we'll totally put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Everyone go check it out because I think that if there's anything, like you have been doing the work, the deep work.
Oh, hell yeah.
And we've just had, I mean, many, many iterations of it, but I mean, I feel like in every capacity that I've seen you, this has been one of your gifts. So I'm so glad that you've now put it in a way where we can all get access to,
for sure,
to this. And I feel like this is your legacy.
Yeah, so definitely. Can I share one thing?
Yes.
You know, when you ask about this, the level of support from Maria, for instance, right? There's a story that I love to share just really mm-hmm. quickly. There's a quote that I heard a long, long time ago. Walk like a god and your goddess will come, right? And this was a quote that I don't necessarily know if I understood at the point when I first heard it. But I do remember back when I was living in Los Angeles, I was working in the entertainment industry for a little while. I had very much wanted my partner. I wanted to find the love of my life. I wanted to find my girl. And if you know anything about Los Angeles, we both used to live there, right? It can be challenging.
Very challenging.
It could be the dating scene can be dry.
Non-existent.
It could be dry. Let's call it what it is, right? And I was working at DreamWorks Animation at that time, and lovely campus, like an incredible launching pad and part of my life. And I recall one of the days me just sharing with, at that point, one of my mentors, Peter Nelson, who went on to be the director of like the more recent animated Spider-Man movies, mm-hmm. you know, Into the Spider-Verse, like those movies. And I was sharing with him, like, Peter, like, I just want to find my lady. I want to find that love. And it's so challenging. It's so hard. And he looked at me after I had shared that. And he was like, Alex, for you to find the person that you love in your life, you got to first find how to love yourself. put yourself in the position where you go out, whether you're traveling the world or you're locally, put yourself in the position so that you could become more fully alive and fully expressed. Find the things that you love. Find the things that bring out more excitement, more joy, more gratitude in your life. Find those things that allow you to go from being the Alex that you know yourself today to being that one life Alex, to being that fully expressed Alex, to being that Alex that when he grew up on the south side of Chicago, dreamed about the potential that he could unlock for himself. Do all of that, and that is how you're going to attract the love into your life. Because you're not just going to attract any ordinary woman or any ordinary partner. You're going to attract your partner. Because just like magnets, just like those type of things that when we put out who we are into the world, that's exactly what we get back. And so when I say 8-9 months later, I had met Maria because I had started doing exactly that, that changed my life. And look at us now.
And look at you now.
Yeah.
I mean, what a beautiful way to end. And I think it's just such a testament because both of you amplify each other. And I think so often if we just lean into our own light first, then our God or our goddess comes along.
Exactly.
And so on that note, what's one word that describes this season for you?
Can I get a few words?
Okay.
Painting outside the lines.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Being expressed.
Thank you for your just magnitude of love and light, and we can feel it, and your grit and your resilience, but with like so much love and reverence.
Yeah. I see you, just so you know.
I think we
know this for a long time.
I know.
I appreciate you so much.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Peace.
On the Brave Table. Welcome back to The Other Side. Didn't this episode just take your breath away? I don't know about you, but I am just so inspired and in awe of Alex's continual perseverance and his dedication and commitment to this mission, One Life. So as he shared, what is your vision for your One Life? What is that big vision for you? And if you are just beginning to chart out your journey, go ahead and grab Alex's visualization that will change the course of your life. It is at onelife.io. And it's also linked in the show notes. And again, it's onelife.io/future-you-visualization. Go ahead and follow Alex Eccles at Hey Alex Eccles. He and his incredible, beautiful, amazing wife, who I'm so excited to just, we are in each other's circles for many, many eons. And, you know, I hope that you have community that you can play with, that you can grow with, that you can really be there for in each other's eons of life. And I think that is the most magical medicine. I don't think many people really have those deep relationships, even with the opposite sex. And so if that is you, or if you are curious to know more about them and their journey, go ahead and follow Hey Alex Eccles. But I nudge you and I encourage you to maybe send a shout out to a friend today, maybe somebody that you haven't spoken to, and let them know you're thinking about them. For more on Alex's offerings, you can go to alexeccles.com. That's alexeccols.com. And if you're curious to know more on how you can spark your creativity and even your big vision, I've put down 3 episodes to really dive into those practices, which I think you'll absolutely love. And that is also linked for you in the show notes. Now, as always, fam, if this has sat with you in some way, if this has resonated with you, if this has sparked anything for you to be just a little bit more brave in your life, please go ahead, give us a follow at The Brave Table, tag us in your stories at Neetha Bhushan, follow me on Instagram as well. And if you are on iTunes right now, or if you're listening to me on Spotify, go ahead. It takes 2 seconds to hit the follow and subscribe button. It helps us so much, more than you can ever know. And if you have not left us a 5-star review, what are you waiting for? It would mean the world to tell us how we have shaped your life. And when you do, go ahead and screenshot it and send it to support at globalgrit.co. That is support@globalgrit.co. And we will send you a free gift. Thank you so, so much for tuning in week after week. And don't forget to be just a little bit more brave.